The following Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, October 15th, 2018.
The woman in your life will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She does everything you do, because the woman in your life is you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Women's Spaces. My name is Elaine B. Holt, and I'm your host. And with me at the board is my friend, my partner, my engineer, and my co-producer, Ken Norton. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning.
Oh, what a beautiful day it is here in Sonoma County. I have two special guests with me today. Joining me on the phone will be Dr. Donald Pierce. You know, I know Women's Spaces is dedicated to ordinary women doing extraordinary things. And Don is doing extraordinary things for children, as he is the co-founder of the North Bay Science Discovery Day, which is coming up this Saturday, next Saturday, October 27th, a free event happening at the Sonoma County Fairgrounds. It's a fabulous, fabulous event for children. And this actually is going to be the third interview that I've done about the Science Discovery Fair. So I'm really, really excited about it. Also joining me in the studio will be Madeline Keegan O'Connell, who is the Chief Executive Officer of the YWCA in Sonoma County. She's been with them since 2012. October is Domestic Violence Month, and we'll be talking about that and the services that the YWCA provides, and also a special film that they are showing. And, you know, I want to remind folks that the YWCA is one of the oldest provider of domestic violence services in our county. It's been in existence here since 1975. Actually, I moved up here in 73, so I was only here for 2 years when they kind of opened the doors here. And the Y is a really wonderful program. I mean, most of us think of it in terms of, you know, they have the swimming and the working out, but there's a lot more that we will be talking about. And I want my listeners to know that today from 3 to 5 p.m., I'm so honored. I will be interviewing all the candidates for Santa Rosa City Council. Again, that's happening today at 3 to 5. You know, this is another example, folks, of how important public radio is. I mean, if I had my way, all elections would be over community radio or community television. You know, instead of all these corporates and putting all this money in, why not the community supporting all the people that are going to run? It's an amazing concept. So turn in today at 3 to 5. It's a two-hour program. I'll be interviewing all the six candidates. And also for folks who are out there, if you know people, say, out in the country that maybe they don't have service, but they do have computers, you can always pick up the show at kbbf.org. It streams. That's kbbf.org. Well, this is a very interesting time. You know, here it is, Domestic Violence Month, and all month we look at the issue, and, you know, we've had with the Kavanaugh hearings and all the issues that are going on, we have really gotten a mouthful. Oh, I'm going to change my mind real quick here, because I have a very, very important announcement, and I don't want to forget this one. Our president, Alicia Sanchez, is now a grandmother. Her son Paco's wife, gave birth to a beautiful little girl on October 13th. The name of the baby is Vita Virgil Sanchez Strawbridge. So congratulations to Alicia Sanchez. I am so excited that she's a grandmother. Here I am, a great-grandmother to little Satori, and here Alicia's a grandmother to little Vita. I hope one day they can come together and play. Well, anyway, back to the announcement I was making. I want my listeners to know that from 3 to 5, I will be interviewing all the candidates for Santa Rosa City Council. And it's very, very important that you tune in, and you can also listen to it on your computers if you're at work at www.kbbf.org. Well, that's a lot to think about, but that's what Women's Spaces is all about, just thinking about things and knowing what's going on in your community. And it's very interesting that this is Domestic Violence Month, you know, and a lot of it has to do with, you know, women and children. And what's so interesting is tomorrow, October 16th, is a historical day and something that I never even thought about. But it was 102 years ago that Margaret Sanger opened the first United States birth control clinic in Brooklyn, New York. And what I did not know is at that time, this is so interesting, at that time they had these laws, these decency laws, and they considered birth control against the law, that it was indecent. And the justification was, is if women took birth control, listen to this one, they would be having pleasure while they're having sex. So I guess the pleasure was the no-no. So it's very interesting. So let's talk a little bit about Margaret Sanger. She's an early feminist and women's right activist who coined the term birth control and worked towards its legalization. She was born in New York City in 1910, and she worked in Greenwich Village and started a publication promoting women's right to birth control. And then they had these obscenity laws. And what ended up happening is they ran her out of the country. And she had to stay away for about 4 years, otherwise she was going to be arrested. And then she came back. So it's very, very interesting. And I made a little mistake here. She was not born in 1910. That's when she first moved to Greenwich Village, and that's when she first started talking about birth control. You know, in 1960... Now, here we're talking the early 1900s, and now we come all the way up to 1960. That's when birth control finally became legal for women. It's an amazing history, and what's so interesting about it to me is if we're not careful, you know, I want to encourage my women listeners to listen to watch a film called, or even read the book called Angela's Ashes, because Angela's Ashes gives you an idea of what it's like when we don't have choice and we do not have access to birth control. Because I just think it's so beautiful that I'm a great-grandmother. Why is it so beautiful? Because this child was planned and wanted, and everything is needed is open the door, and they want this child. When you want a child, it's so different than all of a sudden this accident happens or something happens you don't know. That's why birth control becomes so important. I mean, I don't know if abortion is the right thing. I'm not for abortion. I'm not against abortion, but I'm definitely for choice. And one of the choices that we can have is birth control. And that's being threatened also. And when you look back on Margaret Sanger, what she went through, she had to leave the country, and it wasn't until 1960 that the first oral contraceptives actually became legal. Very interesting history that we have as women. So, you know, it's a lot to think about. It really is. And one of the things that I'm trying to do now with the program is that every program to bring forward a woman who has made a difference in our life. And Margaret Sanger definitely has. So a shout out to her. And you know, who knows? You know, maybe she's an ancestor out there hearing. Another little announcement I have that I'm very, very excited about. And there's a woman by the name of Ellen Brown. She's an internationally known expert on public banking. And on Monday, October 22nd, at the Sonoma Community Center in Napa, she's going to be doing a presentation, and it's going to be brought to you by the Praxis Institute. And the reason I announced this is because I have my fingers crossed, because it looks like maybe at the beginning of the month I will be able to have an interview with her. Public banking is kind of on the horizon, and it's really important that we understand it and we know about it before we make any decisions about it. I'm completely in the dark about it, but it does sound like a fascinating concept. Well, a lot to think about, and we are going to take a musical break now. And I'm so excited. I mean, I really am. I love the North Bay Science Discovery Day. And as you know, I always try to pick a song that relates to the guest that I'm going to have on. And the song that I want to play is one of my favorite. It's sung by a man by the name of Clint Black, but the first time I heard it was Monty Python. It's called The Galaxy Song, and I cannot think of any song that's better for talking about the Discovery Science, the North Bay Science Discovery Day than this song. So when we come back, I will be talking with Dr. Donald Price, who's the co-founder of the North Bay Science Discovery Day, which I said is coming up on Saturday, October 27th. And I'm really excited about it. Why? Because it stirs up the creativity and imagination for children and also for young ladies, young women, to let them know the potential that they can have in the field of science.
Just remember that you're standing on a planet that's evolving, revolving at 900 miles an hour. It's orbiting at 19 miles a second, so it's reckoned a sun that is the source of all our power. The sun and you and me and all the stars that we can see are moving at a million miles a day. In an outer spiral arm at 40,000 miles an hour of the galaxy we call the Milky Way. Our galaxy itself contains 100 billion stars. It's 100,000 light years side to side. It bulges in the middle, 16,000 light years thick, but out by us it's just 3,000 light years wide. We're 30,000 light years from galactic central point. We go around every 200 million years. And our galaxy is only one of millions of billions in this amazing and expanding universe. Itself keeps on expanding and expanding in all of the directions it can whiz. As fast as it can go, the speed of light, you know, 12 million miles a minute, and that's the fastest speed there is. So remember when you're feeling very small and insecure, how amazingly unlikely is your birth. And pray that there's intelligent life somewhere up in space, 'cause I'm afraid that we've been cheated here.
Oh, my goodness. I love that song. I mean, it just reminds us that we're living in this great mystery, just this great mystery. For folks just joining in, you're listening to KPBF 89.1 FM, Calistoga, Santa Rosa. I want to remind my listeners that the opinions presented here are not necessarily the opinions of KPBF, its board of directors, its members, or Women's Spaces. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holes. And without further ado, I want to introduce my first guest on the phone with me is Dr. Donald Pierce. Good morning, Dr. Pierce.
Well, good morning, and I'm glad to be here.
Well, thank you so much for filling in and for giving us the information about this wonderful, wonderful event that's coming up. But before we start, can I tell my listeners just a little bit about you?
Oh, sure.
Dr. Donald Pierce is the founding member of the North Bay Science Discovery Day and a volunteer physician with RotaCare. What exactly is RotaCare, Dr. Pierce?
Well, that's a free clinic put on by Rotary Clubs of the Bay Area. And there are a number of different spaces, and it's for people that have lost their insurance or couldn't get insurance. And the particular one I work at is in San Rafael. And it's been going for about, I think, 15 years. I've been a volunteer for 11 years there. And we see people on Mondays and Thursday nights. It's a drop-in, no questions asked. And we do a number of minor things. For more chronic and severe situations, we refer to Marin Medical Clinic or one of the other medical clinics that have discounted services. But our services are completely free.
Well, thank you for sharing that. That is amazing. And you are also the volunteer coordinator for the Buck Institute for Aging Research, and I have to announce the grandfather of eight grandchildren.
I am, yes. And several of them will be at the Science Discovery Day. The ones in Seattle won't, but the local ones will be, for sure.
Well, we had two births here for KBF. Our president his wife just gave birth to a little girl, and I just became a great grandmother to a little girl too. So it's really, really wonderful feeling to have these beautiful children, and also to know that there's things going on like the North Bay Science Discovery Day. So let's talk about that. How did you get involved, and what do you feel, and why do you believe that this is important for children to be exposed to?
Well, scientists throughout the nation have put together and always wanted to have new scientists, and it's been a long-term goal of the National Science Foundation to have encouraged science within the community. As part of this, the Buck Institute was at a steering, one of the members of the Buck was at a steering committee about this very problem, and came up with the idea that we should have a local, in the Bay Area, Science Festival Day in the fall designed to inspire young budding scientists to further themselves in science. And so the Buck representative, which was Julie Mangata at the time, said, how about we do one for the North Bay? And, of course, that's where it all began.
So tell us a little bit about it. What does it entail? How did you pull it together, and who are some of your sponsors?
Well, first of all, it's not a science fair. It's a science discovery day.
Oh,
this is
okay.
An important concept, and our job is to inspire people to see something that sticks in your mind. And so our first year was 8 years ago. We were at Infinium Raceway. We got about 5,000 people, and we realized that the place was too small for us. Since then, we've been at the Sonoma County Fairground, which turns out to be an excellent place for a science discovery day. We take up about a half of the place, and we've had as many as 18,000 people. And to be an exhibitor, of which we have 100 or more local exhibitors from, and I'll name a few, and to be an exhibitor, you have to have something exciting, hands-on preferably, or something at least that makes noises, catch fires, you can interact with, etc. And so we have Keysight, our local scientific instrument company, has always been with us, and they've had physics experiments. And the biggest one we have this next year is Medtronic, and they're going to be there with a number of cardiovascular exciting things, and including a chance to be a young physician, which is something near to my heart.
Is this something kind of hands-on, like when the young people come in, they can touch, they can feel, they can talk?
Or climb on it. At least get excited about it one way or the other. If it's not exciting and it's just informational, we put a jaundice eye on that sort of experiment. We don't want just handouts. We want something that's active, participatory, and as I say, stokes your adrenaline about science, because science is everywhere.
Well, what age group are you encouraging, and do you feel that parents could come? Or, I mean, how was the situation? Is there a cost involved, or is it free?
Well, that's a good question. It's all day, all free, and to make it that way, we have all volunteers. We don't have any paid staff, and so we invite everybody to come. In fact, we'd love to have families come, and although we design it for first-year science students, which is usually second grade, third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade, somewhere in there, it's aimed at all ages, and we try to get things that will excite adults. We try to have participation of the whole family. Since it's all day, all free, you can come and spend the whole day. You can bring your own lunch, or you could leave for lunch and come back after lunch, 10 to 4.
You know, I'm thinking of there's a place when you come into San Francisco that this like a science hall. I can't remember the name of it now. Is that similar to what goes on in there? Is going on at the Discovery?
Well, there's the Exploratorium, and I'm a member of the Exploratorium, and it's a wonderful place, and it is similar, except that remember the Exploratorium requires a membership fee. Children will sometimes get to go to there as part of a school group for free. But it's a membership fee, and one of our prides is that we encourage local people to present and to bring the idea that the community has science, not that it's as far away as San Francisco, and that we want to present it to people who might not be able to go to the Exploratorium or might not go to the summer camp for science at Stanford, et cetera. So we push for everybody in the local community to have a good time at their local space.
Now, you say everybody that's working with the Discovery, the Science Discovery Day, is a volunteer. Who are these people? I mean, what backgrounds? Can you give a few examples of some of the people that come? And also, I understand that you're having a very, very special thing happening with a helicopter. Can you talk a little bit about that also?
Oh, yeah. The Pacific Coast Air Museum has been with us since the beginning. And, in fact, we go to their Wings Over Wine Country to show our, this year we did the liquid nitrogen and ice cream and also a sound wave exhibit, so that we can encourage people to come there to come to our place. And, they'll bring their helicopter. They have for the, ever since we've been in Santa Rosa, and, either the helicopter or the flight simulator or both, and a chance for kids to climb on it to see what the science behind that is and just have a good time. The whole thing about the, our exhibits is that if they don't inspire somebody, then they're not worth it.
Well, I know it's so important.
You asked about our volunteer system. There is a core committee that we have, and some of us have been there since the very beginning 8 years ago. But we have additionally partners, and we include the Children's Museum, Lawrence Hall of Science, the people from Medtronic and the people from Career Technical Education of Santa Rosa are on our volunteer committee. And Medtronic, for instance, will send 50 volunteers to run their booths. And then on top of that, we have the chance for high school students to come and become either informally come and just help for the day, do lifting and cleaning, and formally, they can work with Career Technical Education Institute, and they are sent out to the company they're going to be a volunteer for, say Medtronic, and learn a little bit about the company, and then come back with a knowledge that allows them to be in the booth with the professionals from the company. And this is a great quick internship for any young, and this is a little older age than we were talking about before, it's a great chance for a young kid to get involved with their local business in the science aspect.
Well, you know, you say that you've been involved 8 years. You know, that is so inspiring because anything, I mean, the most wonderful thing about what I discovered about the whole day that is happening is how inspired children are and how their imagination is just kind of sparked, you know, finding out all these different ideas and thoughts. Well, here you are 8 years later. I hate to throw this question. I don't want to throw you off guard, but I was wondering, is there any young person that you have kept track of or that you know that was inspired by this or any feedback that you get?
Well, you know, we've heard from our volunteers that have gone on to college and have sent back to us that they're going to enter a career, especially in bioscience. And these would be ones that came that I know through the Buck Institute. They volunteered, then they had a summer job, a summer internship, rather, at the Buck Institute itself, biosciences, and now they're doing undergraduate work in biology and plan to go on to biosciences.
That must be a good feeling.
Yeah. It is.
Well, Dr. Pierce, we've come to the end of our segment here, and I want to remind folks that the North Bay Science Discovery Day is happening on Saturday, October 27th from 10 to 4 p.m. at the Sonoma County Fairgrounds here in Santa Rosa. Are there any last words that you'd like to share, any words of encouragement or anything that you'd like to say?
It's all day, all free. If you can come for a little bit of the time, that'd be great as well. The parking is even free. Be there or be square.
Yeah, be there, be square. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Donald Pierce, for being on Women's Spaces and for giving us such good information. And also a special shout out to you and your group for bringing this beautiful day, the North Bay Science Discovery Day, together for our children here in Sonoma County and the North Bay. Thank you, and wishing you much success. And we hope to be there and drop in and see what you're doing this year.
I understand the weather is going to be perfect, so look forward to seeing you.
Well, thank you so much, sir.
Right.
Bye-bye. Wow, there's so many good things going on in the world. That's what we have to focus on. We have to focus on the good, not all the negative and all the fears and all the stuff that we have. And the North Bay Discovery Day is such a marvelous day for young people. I mean, they're just so inspired. Their creativity is sparked. So bring your kids, all you grandparents out there, bring your grandchildren, bring your kids, and that's going to be happening October 27th. That's a Saturday from 10 to 4 p.m. at the Sonoma County Fairgrounds. Well, we're going to take a little musical break, and when we come back, we're going to be talking about the YWCA with the with our executive director, Madeline. Madeline, I got to look at my notes here. I lose Madeline Keegan, your last name, my friend. O'Connell, and I'm really thrilled that we're going to have this interview and talk about this. And then also, like I reminded my listeners, that I am going to be doing a special interview with the six candidates from Sonoma County here, in Santa Rosa, at the Santa Rosa City Council. And so what I want to do is I found this wonderful song by... It's a great song. It's a voting song, and I'd like to play it now. And then when we come back, we'll be talking about the YWCA. God, if that doesn't make you want to hop to the polls, nothing will. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. And without further ado, I want to introduce my next guest. Joining me in the studio is Madeline Keegan O'Connell, the Chief Executive Officer of the YWCA in Sonoma County. She is here to talk about the YWCA's program, and October is Domestic Violence Month and all the programs that are happening at the Y. Welcome, Madeline. Welcome to Women's Spaces.
Good morning, Elaine, and good morning, Ken. For the listeners, I just want to let you know there was a little bit of chair dancing happening here with that last selection. Get out and vote. And the energy in this room is just wonderful. Thanks for having me and YWCA here today.
Oh, no, thank you so much. You know, at one point, Madeline, before I go into it, I'd like to tell our folks
sure.
a little bit about you.
Yes.
But I'd like to let you know that at one time I actually worked for the YWCA. I worked a program called the Domestic Women's Program for women that were going back to school, that
yes.
were needing some help to come to the Y. So I'm very familiar with it.
That's lovely.
Well,
Thank you.
Let me tell you, our folks, a little bit about you. Madeline Keegan O'Connell is the Chief Executive Officer of the YWCA in Sonoma County. She's been there since 2012. The YWCA has provided community domestic violence services since 1975,
mm-hmm.
and I had no idea about that. She brings to her team a unique for nonprofits that she has 28 years. 28 years, you don't look old enough to have
Thank
that much
you.
Time. In marketing and public relations, in the area of community banking, which spans two coasts, she has made her personal mission to raise awareness of the YWCA's work in the local community, utilizing her media skills. Madeline has been recognized by the North Bay Business Journal, congratulations
Thank
to you, Nonprofit Leadership Award in 2016, as well as 2017 Women in Business Award. Her name appears on the Press Democrat list of 30 women you should know in Sonoma County, and she's been honored by a special certificate of congressional recognition by Congressman Mike Thompson and Jared Huffman for her work at the YWCA Sonoma County. You know, that's interesting. You know, I'm also president of the National Organization for Women, and Mike Thompson just honored our chapter, so
nice.
Thank you.
Nice.
Madeline is a graduate of the University of San Francisco. She holds a bachelor's degree in organizational behavior. Madeline and her husband, Kevin, reside in Santa Rosa along with their two boys, Johnny, age 8, and Nicholas, age 6.
Mm-hmm.
I love those names, Johnny
Thank
and
you.
Nicholas. Well, welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome. And also, when I was going through your bio, you know, I'm reading all this
sure.
stuff, and I'm so
yes.
excited, and then all of a sudden I come across challenge. She was challenged with stage 2 cancer, for
yes.
heaven's sake.
Yes, I was.
And here you are, a survivor, and welcome to Women's Spaces.
Thank you
so
much.
I'm so glad
much.
To have you. I really
Thank you.
Am.
Thank you.
So anything you'd like to add? Did I miss anything?
Sure.
Something?
Well, let's just pause on that breast cancer diagnosis, because October is very well known, as you probably know and your listeners, is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And that is a beautiful pink ribbon that I care very deeply about. But I'm also here on the occasion of October because it is the month where so many domestic violence service providers, like the one we have right here in your own backyard here in Sonoma County, focus on Domestic Violence Awareness Month and raising awareness. And so, yes, it was quite an enduring chapter in my life to be diagnosed. And I was recovering from surgery. I was in the hospital, and I started to think about, Elaine, the possibility that the lump that I found would be malignant and would be dangerous, right? And the percentage was a 20% chance. Now, I'm a glass half full kind of gal, so I was thinking 80%, this will be nothing, we'll move on from that. And of course, my diagnosis was quite dramatically different. But as I recovered, I started thinking about the fact that, my goodness, nationally and locally, 1 in 4 families. Let me just pause on that for a second. 1 in 4 families, that's 25% of the people that you know are dealing with some level of domestic abuse behind closed doors in their homes, where they should, where we all should, feel the most safe. And so the idea that I had a 20% chance of having cancer and that 25% of the people that I know are dealing with domestic abuse was just really troubling to me. And so I took to the Press Democrat's op-ed, and I wrote a compelling article about it, and it was later republished in the North Bay Biz magazine. And for those of you who may want to see it, we can make it available on our website on ywcasc.org.
Well, also, you know, we'll put it on Women's Basis.
Thank you.
I mean,
that'd be great.
It's well
sure.
worth it. You can just send it over to me.
Sure.
Well, you know, when something like that happens mm-hmm. to us, you know, when we face, you know, our mortality, actually,
that's
you know,
correct.
Am I going to make it? You know, what is going to be? I know I had the same challenge. I didn't have a cancer challenge. Mm-hmm. I had a septic disease.
Oh my!
It almost took me out.
Oh my heavens!
But what happens is that those moments of time, you really start evaluating who am I, what can I do?
Right.
So that kind of leads me to my first question.
Sure.
What's so interesting, as I read your bio, which mm-hmm. was so fascinating to me, that you come from the corporate world and you moved into the nonprofit world.
That's right.
How did that take place, and what were some of your challenges? I mean, because I was the opposite. I went from nonprofit
That's right.
to the private. So mm-hmm. I know the two worlds very, very well.
Right.
How did that happen for you, and what was your motivation for doing that, and what were some of your challenges?
Well, my goodness. I was so fortunate in 2012 to learn about the responsibility and the opportunity to become a part of YWCA Sonoma County. And meeting with the board and the staff and interviewing, I was offered this position. And honestly, Elaine, for me, my family, I'm so proud to say, we're four generations deep in Sonoma County. Bringing my career in banking back to Santa Rosa in 1998, I joined local boards of nonprofits. I served on the board of the Salvation Army for many years, cared deeply for their mission. And I recognize that there are so many underserved populations in Sonoma County. Now, to counterbalance that, we happen to be in one of the most generous communities that I'm aware of in the United States, maybe in the world, around this community caring about local nonprofits and this community volunteering. We have the highest rate of volunteers per capita, for example.
Is it amazing?
It is. It's a very generous, loving place to be from and to be a part of. And the idea that YWCA and Domestic Violence Awareness Month was so understood, right? People didn't know who YWCA was.
You know, that what's so interesting to me, you know, here we are. I mean, I've been on the planet a long time, you know, and when I grew up, you never heard, that word was not even in the vocabulary, domestic violence.
Right.
But you knew through your whole own family that something was going wrong.
Yes.
in different aspects. What do you think in your research, what has all of a sudden just brought it right to the surface as quickly as it has in the past, maybe 3 or 4 years, really?
Well, you know, here's the thing. We focus on two things, domestic abuse and domestic violence, and the complexity of a relationship, Elaine, in which love and violence are intertwined. And in focusing on that, certainly the Me Too movement has brought above water, you know, the idea that women need to be heard. And in the way the YWCA considers violence in one's home is that it affects the entire family, right? So we are the YWCA, we're the Young Women's Christian Association. Sometimes we're confused with another organization with similar initials. But our focus is on healthy families and healthy relationships.
Well, you know, talking about healthy families and talking about relationships, I mean, we just went through this whole thing with the Supreme Court justice. Has that impacted your programs? Are more people, more women calling now? Is it more out in the open? Or it's just been steady since it's even evolved about 3 or 4 years ago?
You know, I was so happy to have a chance to listen to the interview that you had with my friend Chris Castillo over there at Verity and some of her colleagues. And I know that their calls have gone up as a result of this being in the news. I'm afraid that the more marketing that we do around Domestic Violence Awareness Month and the more that we're on shows like yours, although I'm very grateful to be here, yes, certainly it does spur people's thoughts and considerations about the way they're currently living their life and the situation that they're in. And many times, sometimes people will call YWCA's Domestic Violence Crisis Hotline, and I want to read that number often on your show today to encourage community members to call us. We answer that phone 24/7, 365 days a year. It's an easy number to remember. It is 546-1234. And we want community members.
546-1234. Right. I already remember.
That's right. See how easy it was? And we want community members to call us because we want to be a resource to you. When you, a moment ago, you said something very important that, you know, maybe we haven't always called it domestic violence. And in many ways, maybe it doesn't always escalate to violence. You know, those are the headlines that we read in the news. We hear about the homicides and the very devastating effects of violent acts. But remember that as insidious as perhaps my cancer was, domestic abuse and violence can begin in a relationship very early on, and there's a lot of complexity to it. But we want to be of service to everyone in Sonoma County and have you call our number. If you suspect that someone in your life is dealing with that, we have ways to help you, encourage them to come forward. If they need us, we're here for them.
So that's 707-546-1234. You have me trained.
Oh, you got it. Good, okay.
Well, talk about then. You know, it's important for folks to know what is the exact mission of the YWCA. You know, when it was very interesting to me because I always just thought of the YWCA at first, way back when. Mm-hmm. It's a place you went and swam because it had a warm pool for older folks.
Right,
so
right.
Talk a little bit about the mission of the YWCA, of this aspect of it, and also, what is domestic violence? You know, what does that month entail? What are some of the programs or some of the things that are going on?
Sure. Well, let me tell you first that YWCA was founded in Sonoma County here in 1975 when a group of local women, concerned citizens, recognized that mothers and children were sleeping in their cars, Elaine, and they wanted to know why. And they investigated it to learn that in many cases, remember, it's 1975, in many cases, families were fleeing their home with nowhere else to go, just
so
to remain safe.
So it was actually happening then also.
Yes, it was.
Interesting.
Yes. And remember how much smaller our community was back then, right? And so with increased populations comes the increased social issue as well. So they appealed to YWCA USA, which is our national affiliate, and they asked if they could create an agency here in Sonoma County. We are very blessed that they did that. And they created the very first fundraiser they had, Elaine, was a garage sale. And with the proceeds from that garage sale, they were able to institute a phone. And that became our crisis hotline way back from 1975. The next thing they did, we've had a rich history, as you know, over four decades now, was to acquire a home in a confidential location. And I want to tell people that it is with enormous sincerity and intent that I talk about the confidential safe house shelter. This is a currently 27 beds, soon to be 32 beds, through funding that we've recently received from the City of Santa Rosa. Thank you so much for their support. And it's a place where once that crisis hotline is contacted, a safety plan is made, and our advocates and employees at YWCA are also called navigators. They support a family in coming forward and coming into our house. So the mission is all about ending domestic violence and providing resource and support to families who call us in need.
Well, you talk about this safe house. So there's actually a safe house that has X amount of beds.
That's correct.
It's an unknown. In other words, you don't make it a private address. You don't say our safe house is at blah, blah, blah.
That's correct.
So if a woman calls and she's in some sort of situation and all of a sudden she needs to leave for a while, that is made available?
It is made available. Absolutely.
Oh, my God.
There
right
is,
here in our own
there
community.
There is always room in our inn. And it's interesting. I realize I'm on a show called Women's Spaces. But Elaine, men are victims of domestic violence too. And so we have services set up for men who come to us. I can think of a man that was being physically abused by his wife. She was arrested on domestic battery with intent to injure in the morning, and by 3 o'clock in the afternoon had posted bail and came back to their home. They had a son who was actually disabled, and he felt so threatened in that moment when she almost immediately, you know, was released and came home, that he called our crisis hotline. And we supported his transition out of that home along with his boy so that they could be safe.
So what percentage of men are I would imagine it is mainly, it was the highest percentage is women.
Women, yes. Nationally and locally, it's 1 in 4 women, and the statistic on men has been reported as 1 in 7.
Really?
But I want to say this. Statistics aside, this is a lot of people you and I both know. This is a lot of people in our community who need support. And so men, women, homosexual relationships, heterosexual relationships, what does it really matter? We just want to be here and be of support to our community, and that's what the YWCA is all about.
Well, it's amazing. It's amazing that, you know, how it's come to this point,
right,
to where everybody knows that everybody is having this issue. It's not hidden anymore, which I think is very important. I actually had a family member, when I look back, my Aunt Sarah,
back,
and I think, and you know, when as you get the information and you hear stories, you go, wow, that was Aunt Sarah, you know, I mean, and it was more with her, it was more of a verbal kind of abuse.
Right.
And also a control around wearing makeup or certain clothes, like the certain controls, and it was just amazing.
And that's what I mean by the insidious nature of it, right? So maybe that sounds minor to someone listening to our conversation right now, and yet it can escalate. And there is something called the cycle of abuse, and it's a spiral. It starts with tension building, which we also call escalation. It can erupt into an incident, which could be violent or could be physical, followed by reconciliation and a calm. And just like a spiral, Elaine, that may be wide at the outside, the more frequency by which the cycle perpetuates, the spiral gets smaller and smaller. And so the cycle is shorter, and the incidences of eruption become greater. So for someone living in a domestic violence situation or feeling oppressed by their partner in terms of power and control, in terms of their own choices, in terms of being isolated or being told, as you said, makeup, for example, there comes a point when finally it's really important that people who know of any kind of unhealthy nature in a relationship offer the services of YWCA, or call us yourself so that we can help you in your specific situation.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I have a friend of mine who had a child who was having a problem with alcohol, mm-hmm. and was able to call an alcohol rehab center and be on the phone almost every other day for a whole year with a counselor.
Good for them.
And it really helped move her child from potential alcoholism to actually working through her issues.
Right.
And it sounds like the same thing, that if you know of a friend, sometimes to call to get some advice to how you can talk to that person. Because, I mean, when you see it, there's a song I play a lot. It's called "By My Silence, I Give My Consent."
Oh my heavens! Yes.
You know, so if you're looking and you're seeing something, and you're not doing something or not trying to help that person, you're actually saying it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, tell us a little bit about some of the programs that are offered, some specific programs,
sure.
especially right now during this Domestic Violence Month. What do you focus on, and what is kind of a theme, or is anything going on?
Sure. Well, let me touch first on something that you just mentioned around the friend calling in and getting that level of support. It brings to mind our therapy program, Elaine, and this is really important. For us at YWCA, the healing begins with a conversation, and so we offer a therapy program. You can access those services through 546-1234. And we want you to know that we're here for individual family counseling. We offer domestic violence support groups, for example, which is sometimes one of the first services that someone who calls us will agree to participate in, kind of get their feet in the water and kind of understand what is this thing called domestic violence, and is my life surrounded by that. And it's a very cathartic situation in a support group, as you can well imagine, Elaine, where you're hearing the stories of other people, and perhaps you're seeing a bit of a mirror to your own situation. The therapy program is closely aligned and associated with our little preschool.
Yeah, it's, I remember reading something that you actually had for 3 to 5 year olds.
Yes, we do. Yes, we have
Why
a state.
3 to 5?
Well, we have a state funded preschool, and this was started by YWCA in the 1980s. It's a very unique preschool, the only one in the county that offers therapy for children ages 3 to 5. And we recognize and we support the state and the United States directive that preschool is terribly important in terms of beginning one's educational path in life. And for many children, these are at-risk children, they have witnessed firsthand domestic violence. And in the course of becoming kindergarten ready, which is all we focus on emotional and social skills to make sure that the kids who come to us are able to discuss and explore some of the things that they have seen and heard in their young lives.
You know, people have to recognize that children are impacted. You know, I've often, if you ever sometimes watch a child, they just stare, like when adults are doing things.
Yeah.
You know, how they look at you and they ask questions.
Right.
I mean, I can't imagine what it must be like for a 3 or 4 or 5 year old when a parents are maybe acting out or doing some of the things. Well, you know, Madeline, time goes by so fast in this room, and there's so much we can talk about. But I know that there's a film that's coming up, and I want to make sure that the folks know about that. So why don't you talk about it? It's called, you are showing a film called Power and Control, Domestic Violence in America. Talk a little bit about the film, and when is that happening?
Thank you so much. Yes, on our website, ywcasc.org, you can find our Domestic Violence Awareness Calendar. I'm so grateful to Elaine for shedding light on a movie that we're showing called Power and Control, Domestic Violence in America. It is on Thursday, October 25th. We will begin the show at 7 o'clock. It is under 1 hour. It's actually a 50-minute presentation. It follows the life of a story of a mother named Kim. She has 3 daughters, and it's the journey that she explores. She does live in a domestic violence shelter, and she does begin a new life free from violence. And truly, this is the focus of YWCA during every community. And so the movie in a movie, because our friends, Santa Rosa, have agreed to do a dine and donate for us. Immediately following the film, I'm very excited to introduce the community to the real heroes of the YWCA, our program leads we will have, and our therapy division. Also included will be representatives from Santa Rosa Police Department and the Sonoma County Sheriffs, because in the course to understand the role and the partnership that both YWCA, the YWCA extraordinarily strong. We're very good advocates for each other.
I know.
Absolutely.
When I was on the Human Rights Commission advocating and all the stuff that's going on around there. So it's going to be at the Summerfield Theater, and it's going to be on the on what date was that again?
Thursday, October 25. I also just want to point out, if I have another just minute or two.
Go ahead.
We're so grateful to have the corporate sponsorship of Kaiser Permanente helping us to produce this film. We will have an ad for the film in Sunday's Press Democrat. Clone Print has been enormously supportive. If you check our calendar, you'll see that every Thursday in October, and actually every day in October, lovely friends of ours at Willoughby's, which is located on 3rd and D, they are, I like to think of them as a modern-day Traversos. Do you remember Traversos, where you could buy a nice bottle of wine and lovely groceries, and there was a deli? So Willoughby's is doing fundraising for us all month. We'll also be at BB's Burgers, keeping it close to home there on 3rd Street, for a dine and donate on Tuesday. And I also want to shout out to Treasure House. They are supporters of us, and we're going to have a shopping evening with them. They're located on Airway Drive. Check our calendar for details.
I have to compliment. You can tell the difference between someone who's been in the world of business doing an event versus some. I mean, the way you just went into that so prepared. I mean, it's a lesson for nonprofits.
Well, I'm talking very quickly because you're giving me the high sign, Elaine.
No, but it's the fact that you bring such skill and such knowledge, and this is what we need. We need more skill and more knowledge and
Thank
more
you,
reaching
Elaine.
Out
very
and
kind.
More marketing, understanding. That is going to help us to achieve what we want. That's why a lot of nonprofits are struggling, because they don't know how to kind of do this.
Well, I hope you also hear the passion and the commitment of myself and everyone at YWCA. You know, I just wanted to close with I recognize that this is the anniversary of our fires. We all endured devastating loss. We were all touched. We were all evacuated in under many circumstances. But through it all, one thing remains clear for the YWCA. All of us are vulnerable to circumstances beyond reason, which can change our lives in an instant. And so, in many ways, the fire crisis mirrors the characteristics of the ongoing trauma families affected by domestic violence know too well. Fleeing one's home to escape harm and leaving behind precious personal belongings is accompanied by the same profound uncertainty of what lies ahead. And so we honor October's wildfires. We honor the work that we do for families in Sonoma County. Please call us.
One last, that's 546-1234.
Yes.
One last thing, the website.
Sure.
Give us the website.
Sure. YWCASC, so that stands for SonomaCounty.org.
Right. And also, just to let our listeners know that you can go on Women's Spaces, www.womenspaces.com, and you'll find all the information about the film and about all the everything you wanted to know about this event, but we're afraid to ask. Thank you so much, Madeline
Keegan-O'Connell,
for being such a great guest and being and doing such wonderful work for the YWCA and for supporting the women and, like you said, men of our community. Very, very important. And for Dr. Donald Pierce, thank you so much from the North Bay Science Discovery Day. Remember, that's happening October 27th. It's a free event. It's happening from 10 to 4 in the afternoon at the Sonoma County Fairgrounds. And also a special thank you to Madeline Keegan-O'Connell, the Chief Executive Officer of the YWCA in Sonoma County, and reminding you that they're showing the film Power and Control, Domestic Violence in America on, I believe you said, October 25th, mm-hmm. and that's going to be at the Summerfield Theaters in Santa Rosa. You know, they are a nonprofit, and you know something? It's so important that we support our nonprofits. And remember, KBBF is also a nonprofit. And for $4.99 a month, you can become a sustaining member. And how you do that, just go to www.kbbf, look to the right, and you will see exactly how you do that. And the very least you can do, become a member. Support your community radio. Do you realize all the information that came through here about the YWCA and the programs that they are supporting? It's on your community radio station that's letting you know all this. And in depth, not just, hey, boo, 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 but an in-depth study of what the program is doing. Well, reminder, tell your friends, Women's Spaces will be aired again at 11 p.m. tonight. I'm so excited I get to listen to my own show. Remember, the children are the future, and we must never lose sight of that. This is Elaine B. Holtz, and you've been listening to Women's Spaces.
You, because a woman in your life.
The previous Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, October 15th, 2018.